So quick to choose the path walked by the righteous, so you can go and nest among the weak. The innocent observers will refuse to find the lie within. Renew the disappointment of the meek.
Chapter 12. The first thing that Stiles and Peter agree on is that there will be no more interrogation. No chance of torture. When they get a shot at Kate, they'll take it. Even if it's in broad daylight on a crowded street and we both end up in jail, Stiles says. And Peter nods. I mean, not that we probably couldn't get away from the cops, but you know what I mean. The second thing they agree on is that they neither want to talk about nor think about what they're going to do after Kate is dead. Peter doesn't seem ready to deal with his argument with Laura, and Stiles just has no idea what he wants to do. Things with Derek are getting kind of serious, and he likes it, but he also has no clue what to do with it. Sometimes he feels like Derek will want him to stick around, but then he worries that that will ruin the entire basis of their relationship. So, what's our next move where Kate is concerned? Stiles finally asks, starting on his third mug of coffee. We've still got the GPS on our car, although we don't know if that's accurate. She could have taken it off and thrown it on someone else's car to give us false leads. Peter nods. I don't think we can trust it. Do you think she really cared about getting Derek's help? Or do you think she did that only to lure us in? An excellent question. Peter thinks this over. I'm going to go with a little of both. Either way it played out, she could twist it to her advantage. I don't think she could have known for sure we would show up. If you hadn't been sleeping in Derek's room, it's extremely doubtful he would have woken either of us to tell us about her call. So if Derek came by himself, she could try to manipulate him into helping her. And if he came with us, she knew we would bring her back to the old house. Stiles nods along with this. So she might not just drop this thing with Derek. She might not, but I'm not sure we'll be able to use it against her. I don't know that we'd want to put Derek through working with her, even if he'd agree, which is doubtful, and could pull off the deception, which is even more doubtful. Yeah, Stiles grimaces. Let's try to leave him out of it, if at all possible, which doesn't leave us with a lot of options. True. I still wonder if she would respond to a threat to her niece. Stiles chews on his lower lip. I mean, she hasn't seen Chris and Allison in 10 years. We have to assume they're not close. And even if they were, Kate is the kind of narcissistic monster who would always save her own skin. But even if she wasn't, we still couldn't use Allison. Peter raises an eyebrow. Because? Look, we don't have much moral high ground here, Stiles says, which is fine by me. I've never cared about that. But the little that we do have, we've got to try to keep if we want to survive this. The hunter community that's looked the other way while we cleaned the trash out of their ranks, they won't care if we kill Kate. They know what she did. They might not even care if we kill Gerard. But if we use an innocent to do it, threaten someone who's never hurt anyone, then they'll never stop looking for us. And I want this to be over. God, I need it to be over. After a few moments, Peter nods. All right, but it doesn't leave us with a lot of options. Yeah, I know. I don't. Stiles blinks as his cell phone starts to chime with an incoming call. Derek? Peter assumes. Stiles looks at the screen and shakes his head. No, it's a local number, but one I don't recognize. He taps the screen to accept the call. Hello?
Hey, Stiles? It's Scott.
His frown deepening, Stiles says, How'd you get this number?
Dude, give us a little credit, Scott says, sounding disgruntled. Anyway, can we talk? I don't like the way we left things the other day. My mom's working right now, so you could come over and we'd have some privacy. Do you still remember where the house is?
Yeah,
Styles says, considering his options. Yeah, sure, why not? I'll see you in half an hour. He ends the call and says, well, we know what Kate's next move is, at least. Peter nods. Probably told him that she didn't want to hurt you, just me. He figures he can talk you into betraying me, or at the very least looking the other way. Should I just ignore it? No, let's play cat and mouse, Peter says, his eyes glinting. Or more accurately, wolf and rat. We'll find somewhere else for you two to have your little get-together. We don't want to give Kate the time to find a good sniper's perch. Then I can look for her while she's trying to get to you. Styles nods. Okay, any ideas on a place? I'm fresh out of back rooms, unfortunately. Call Derek. He knows the town better than we do at this point. Maybe one of Laura's betas works at a hotel or somewhere. They can give us a private space. Okay. Styles taps the screen a few times, calls Derek, and explains the situation. Derek tells him to hang on while he talks to the others. After a minute, he calls back and says, what about a school? Boy teaches at Beacon Hills Elementary. He says he can let you in. Perfect, Styles says, and they agree to meet there in 15 minutes. They beat Derek and Boyd there, since they're coming from the preserve. It's not a large building, since Beacon Hills isn't a big town. It only takes Peter a minute to jog around it. She won't know which classroom you'll use, so she'll set up as a sniper at the main entrance and hope you don't duck out the back. Probably put some guys in the woods in case you do. Styles nods. Snipe from where? Not a lot of tall buildings around here. It's all residential. Yeah, she'll use a tree. Peter's mouth curves in a smile. But I'll find her. Okay. Styles looks up as Derek's Camaro pulls up. He greets him with a quick kiss, and Boyd lets them into the building. Styles decides to have the meeting in the school library, which is right inside and doesn't have any windows. Boyd gives Styles the keys and tells him not to wreck the place and to remember to lock up afterwards. You're sure you don't want us to stay? Derek asks, looking uneasy. Positive. Styles reaches out and takes both of Derek's hands, giving them a squeeze. I don't want you anywhere near her. We'll take care of this. Okay, Derek says. He lets out a breath and then nods. Yeah, okay. Call me when you're done. Will do. Styles waits until they've left the library before he gets out his phone and calls Scott. Hey, so we can't meet at your place, he says, keeping his tone matter-of-fact. Come meet me at the elementary school. I'm in the library. Why? Scott asks, sounding more confused than anything else. You want to talk or not? Styles replies. Well, yeah. Then come to the elementary school. Styles hangs up and texts Peter to let him know that Scott is presumably on his way. It's nearly 15 minutes, which feels like a long time pacing the stacks of the bookshelves. He's glad that it's a new school, built within the last 5 years, because otherwise he thinks he'd be buried under the weight of the nostalgia. What grade had he been in the year his father was killed? Fourth? Fifth? He doesn't remember. A fact which is somewhat terrifying in and of itself. He's blocked so much of that out, filed it away under the Styles before. When Scott comes in, he's not alone. There's a brunette with him, tall for a woman, and Styles knows it has to be Allison, even though he's never met her. Hey, Scott greets him. Why do you want to meet here? Well, I am a wanted man, Styles says. And no offense, but your phone probably isn't secure. Hell, mine might not be at this point either. I'm guessing Kate cloned Derek's phone last night, got my number, and gave it to you, right? Scott looks a little guilty, rubbing a hand over the back of his head. He doesn't answer it directly, instead saying, this is Allison. Allison Styles. Nice to meet you, Allison says. Is it? Styles replies. Is it really? Scott huffs. Don't be a jerk. We're not the bad guys here, you know. Styles shrugs. We're trying to help you, Allison says, her voice earnest, even concerned. Look, Styles, neither of us approve of what my aunt did, We're not saying you don't have the right to want to kill her, but things aren't that simple. You know that the hunters are never going to stop looking for you. We can make sure you're safe. A lot of them already believe that Peter manipulated you into helping him. We're not asking you to betray him or join the other side. Just stop, Stiles, Scott says. You can get out of this clean and safe. You can have a life again.
Says who? Stiles asks. Who's going to keep the rest of the hunters from coming after me?
Gerard, Scott says. I talked to him this morning. He gave me his word. Stiles barks out a short laugh.
Oh, okay. Gerard gave his word. I actually feel less safe now.
Scott rubs a hand over his face.
Stiles.
Go ask Gerard how much his word meant when he lured Deucalion and his pack into the old distillery with talk of a peace treaty and then murdered them in cold blood.
Stiles retorts.
Or better yet, ask about the peace treaty that the Argents had with the Hale pack before Kate set their house on fire. Thanks, but no thanks, Scott. I'll be a lot safer on my own than I will be hiding under Gerard's skirts.
When it looks like Scott might lose his cool, Allison reaches out and gently squeezes his upper arm. He takes a deep breath and continues.
Stiles, you have to understand that this is only going to end one way for Peter. But it doesn't have to end that way for you. You don't have to protect him.
I know that, Stiles says. I don't have to, but I will. He's my dad. My second dad, adopted, sure, but my dad. He raised me. He taught me almost everything I know. He stayed with me when I was sick, protected me when I was weak. He told me it was okay to cry when I missed my parents so much I couldn't stand it. So you can stop trying to get me to abandon ship. I will go down with this motherfucking ship, do you hear me? I will fight to my last fucking breath before I walk away from him. You want me to let the woman who killed my first father kill my second one, too? You can go fuck yourself right in the goddamn face.
Stiles, I...
And while I'm on the subject, Stiles continues, furiously, voice rising to a shout, what exactly do you intend to happen to Kate when this is over? Because you clearly don't want me to kill her, but you might recall that the last time the police tried to arrest her, it didn't go so fucking well.
Scott winces a little at that, but then rallies. The hunters can police their own. They have a system. Stiles stands there with his jaw ajar for so long that Scott trails off uncomfortably.
A system, he finally says. Dude, where have you been? What do you think I've been doing for the past 5 years and change? Where was the system when Howard Bell raped and murdered a 16-year-old? Where was the system when Mitch Kelly gunned down a family outside a Dairy Queen?
They didn't know, Scott says. They would have done something if they knew.
Oh my God, seriously? Stiles says. You're seriously going to stand there and say they didn't know? Have you been to the forum?
Of course I've been to the... Wait, how do you know about the forum?
Stiles groans.
For God's sake, Scott, try to keep up. Of course I know about the forum. And if you give me 2 minutes, I can show you at least 8 posts where people were debating whether or not they should have done something about these guys before Peter and I started killing them. And you know what? The answer was always no. It was always, we can't be held responsible for the actions of a few maniacs. Or, we can't waste our time on humans when there are werewolves out there. I'm dead serious, Scott.
Allison looks uncomfortable.
My father... Don't bring him into this, Stiles says. You'll go home real unhappy. Remember Sam Stearns, the hunter who got killed on his way back from Reno? He's barely 2 hours away. He and Chris went on hunts together at least 3 or 4 times a year. Chris gave him the wolfsbane he used to poison a couple, killing not just the 2 werewolves, but their 2 human guests, because he didn't bother to make sure nobody would be caught in the crossfire.
Allison stares at him in shock, then looks away. Scott, on the other hand, rallies.
So we'll build a system, if there isn't one already in place. We'll start making sure that people like that are caught and go to jail.
Look, Scott, I actually believe that you mean that, Stiles says. 100%. And thank you.
It warms the cockles of my blackened heart. But if you stopped and thought about it for a minute, you'd know damn well it wouldn't work. Because unless you're willing to kill, you've got no leverage. Let's say you called the cops on Stearns, and he got arrested. Only some of his buddies pool the money and bribe a juror, or destroy evidence, or whatever. So he's not convicted. What do you do then? Or what about if he knows he'll be convicted, so he posts bail and then takes off? What then? If he knows you're not willing to kill him, what's his incentive to go quietly through trial and serve his sentence? What's to stop him from, booby-trapping his goddamn door and killing three police officers? I don't know, Scott says, but we'll figure it out. We can work together. We can make sure. No, Stiles says. I'm genuinely sorry to say that, but no. I will not risk the life of one police officer. Do you understand that? Not after what Kate did. His phone chimes and he glances down. Peter has texted him saying,
she must be a good sniper. She set up 300 yards away. I wasn't looking that far. She surrounded her perch with mountain ash before I could get to her. Go out the back. We'll regroup and wait for our next chance.
Stiles frowns a little. Scott sees it and says,
what?
Just thinking my thanks, Stiles says. So Kate knows you're here, right? He adds, and Scott flushes a little but nods. Should I overlook the fact that you're actively working with the woman who killed my father?
I did this for you, Scott says, to keep you safe.
Which is touching, really, Stiles says. So I'm going to make a deal with you, Scotty. Kate's in a sniper perch 300 yards away. I'm going to send an illusion of myself out the front door. If Kate doesn't immediately blow my head off, I will at least talk to Peter about maybe taking a trip to Aruba or something and letting the hunters handle the woman who killed his family. If she does immediately blow my head off, then you'll stop trying to talk me into looking the other way while she murders Peter. Deal?
Deal,
Scott says immediately. Cool. Hang on. Stiles takes his phone back out and texts Peter.
Come in the side entrance. I've got a plan.
He waits for Peter's affirmative, then tucks the phone away. Peter's coming in. Can I trust you not to kill him for 5 minutes?
Why?
Allison asks warily. Because illusion spells aren't easy. It's going to take it out of me, and I want him here to make sure I get out safely if things get bad. Allison and Scott appear to consider this for a minute, and then Scott nods.
Okay.
A minute later, Peter strolls casually into the library, hands tucked into his pockets. He nods at Stiles and says,
so, what are we doing here?
Apparently, Kate made certain promises to Scott about my safety, as long as I agreed not to stand in their way while they kill you, Stiles says. So I'm going to send an illusion of myself out the front door for her to shoot.
Peter pinches the bridge of his nose.
Why? Because fuck her, that's why.
Amused, Peter says. Who could argue with that logic? All right, I've taken care of her men in the woods, so it ought to be easy enough to get out the back once you're done.
Taken care of? Scott asks, his voice tight. Does that mean you killed them?
No, I sang them each a lullaby and sent them right off to sleep, Peter says, rolling his eyes.
Stiles gives him a look, and he sighs.
I knocked them out with a stun gun, actually. We're trying to keep a low profile. We don't want to leave a trail of bodies a mile wide.
Great, Stiles says. Let's get to work. Scott, text Kate. Tell her that I agreed to stop protecting Peter in exchange for a guarantee of my own safety. And say we're coming out in a minute, and she can meet you back at, I don't know, wherever. Peter, I want you to take a picture of Scott and me, so I have an image to work with.
Peter nods, and he and Scott both pull out their phones. Stiles makes Scott stand a few paces in front of him, so it looks like he's walking in front of him. Then they head to the front hall.
Okay, Stiles says, and lets out a slow breath, gathering the strength he's going to need.
He puts the tips of his fingers on the screen of Peter's phone and closes his eyes. A few minutes later, a fuzzy image of two men appears in front of them. It gains detail as the moments trickle by, and Stiles pours power into the spell.
Peter watches, silently impressed. Finally, with his eyes still closed, Stiles says,
Peter, open the door. Pull it so you're standing behind it.
Okay,
Peter says, and does so. Styles slowly pushes his hand outward, and the illusion moves forward. The movement isn't exactly natural, but Kate probably won't be able to tell through her scope. A few moments later, there's a sharp crack. Styles drops his hand and lets the illusion dissolve, then blinks and says, "Wait, shit, that was it, right? She just shot me?" He sees Scott's pale, shocked face and says, "Yep, okay, that was it. Time to go."
"Holy shit," Scott says. "I can't believe she..."
"Moral crisis later. Move now," Styles says, gently shoving him down the hallway. He sees storm clouds on Allison's expression, but doesn't address it. Instead, he takes 3 steps, and then his knees give out. Peter catches him before he hits the deck.
"Easy, cricket," he says. "How about you watch my back?"
"Sure," Styles says, realizing that the world is pretty fuzzy and gray. Peter kneels down in front of him, and Styles just drapes himself over him, wrapping his arms and legs around him in a reverse piggyback. That way, he can direct the shielding spell behind him.
"This'll use up the last of my juice, though."
"Well, I don't have big plans for the rest of the day," Peter says, already heading down the hallway. Scott and Allison follow. Styles rests his head on Peter's shoulder and concentrates on breathing as they go out the side door, holding the hand with the shielding spell behind them. Peter sprints across the empty space, into the trees, with Scott and Allison a little ways behind. Once they're there, Styles lets the spell drop. He's too tired to maintain it any longer. He lets his eyes close as Peter starts through the woods. After a few moments of silence, Scott says,
"Why do you call him Cricket?"
Peter laughs.
"Because when we first got started, he was like a little Jiminy Cricket perched on my shoulder, telling me about how we couldn't steal cars from good people and couldn't shop at Walmart because they don't pay their workers enough, and it wasn't enough to be mostly sure that our target had killed innocent people."
Scott mulls that over for a minute.
"And that was okay with you?"
Peter sighs, his breath stirring Styles' hair.
"I'm not going to lie to you, Scott, mostly because I don't care what you think of me. I'm well aware that I am morally gray at best, and a darker gray at that. But Styles saved my life. Without him, I would have gone on an indiscriminate killing spree that would have ended only one way. Kate killed my wife, my baby. I'm not going to say I wasn't responsible for my actions when I met Styles, but I will say that I was at least 7/8 out of my mind. It wouldn't have mattered to me if a particular hunter had killed innocents. In my personal opinion, they're all equally complicit. But Styles doesn't feel the same way. And adopting his guidelines, adopting him, gave me a purpose, a way to channel my rage. It brought me back from a place darker than you can imagine."
"Fucking sap," Styles mumbles into Peter's shoulder, and Peter gives a snort of laughter. They walk in silence for another minute before Scott says,
"What do we do now? I just want my friend back."
"Scott, you have to try to understand something, which I think is going to be very hard for you to comprehend," Peter says. "And not because you're not intelligent, but because it's just hard for people who haven't gone through this sort of thing to imagine it. The Styles that was your friend changed in monumental, indelible ways the day his father was murdered. And you weren't wrong when you say he could have moved on from it without becoming a vigilante, if he'd stayed here and gotten help. But he never would have been the same, therapy or no therapy. He said to me the day we met that he finally understood how viciously, cruelly arbitrary a place the world was. That's a hell of a revelation for a 10-year-old. Maybe you two would still be friends if he had stayed here. Maybe you wouldn't. But it's been 10 years. If you want to be Styles' friend, you have to understand that he's not the same person you knew. You have to get to know him again, and then decide whether or not he's someone you would call a friend." Scott says nothing to that. So Allison speaks up.
"Well, we can't let Kate get away with this. I hated what she did to your family, But I hated what you did too, when you took Stiles away. So I thought it was the lesser of two evils to work with her, if it would keep Stiles safe. If it won't work, we have to come up with a new plan.
There is no new plan, Stiles says, lifting his head so he's not talking into Peter's shirt. I don't want you two involved in this.
We can't just walk away, Scott says, appalled. We can help you.
I don't want your help, Stiles says. Sorry, Scotty, but I don't. In this whole world, I trust only one person besides myself. I'll say to you what you said to me. Just stop. Let us handle this. When this is over, we can figure out how things are going to be moving forward. But I don't want your help, Scott. I don't want you risking your life to save us. We got ourselves into this, and we'll get ourselves out of it.
I hate that, Scott says. Well, now you understand why I told you to go fuck yourself in the face when you asked me to do it. Scott gives a snort of laughter.
Yeah, that was fair. I asked for that.
And on that note, this is where we part ways, Peter says, glancing down to the forest path that will lead them back to the Hale Den. I'm sure we'll see you again.
Yeah, Scott clears his throat. Stiles, be careful, okay?
Stiles manages to toss off a sloppy salute before Peter turns and starts jogging through the forest. A few moments later, he slows down.
Let me down. I can walk, Stiles says.
Peter sets him on his feet.
You sure?
He says, and Stiles nods. So they start walking.
You only trust one person, hmm? Is that me?
Stiles laughs. Who else would it be, you jackass?
I'm not surprised that you trust me, Peter says. But I guess I am surprised that you don't trust Derek.
Yeah? Stiles' shoulders hunch slightly as he walks. I don't, though. I mean, Derek and I, what we have, it's really something. But I don't trust him, because if it came down to the wire, I don't know if he'd choose Laura and the new pack over us. And that's okay. I don't want you to think of it like it's a bad thing. Derek loves his sister, and he's loyal to her. There's nothing wrong with that. He can love her and still love us. But if he thought he'd have to sacrifice someone, I don't know who he'd choose. I would be okay with it if he chose us. But I never want him to be in a position where he'd have to. So it's easier if I just don't trust him.
Peter thinks about that and then nods a little. I suppose that makes sense. I think it's rather mature of you, actually.
That's me, Stiles says. Mr. Mature. Peter gives a snort of laughter.
I'll let that go because I know how the magic goes to your head.
Yeah, agreed, Stiles says cheerfully. I need an entire pizza and a nap.
I'll see what I can do.